The Joker once said, "I believe whatever doesn't kill you simply makes you stranger." All right, let's get strange. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, this here longstanding electronic engineering podcast brought to you by eejournal.com and hosted by me, Amelia Dalton. Guess what? It's my birthday. Okay, technically it's on Sunday, but in honor of my birthday, I'm bringing in one of my all-time favorite guests, Ted Morocco from Silent, formerly SmartFlow Compliance Solutions. Ted is bringing us the goods on why the fight against IP theft is nowhere near done, why SmartFlow is now Silent, and why software protection is more important than ever before. But before we jump into thwarting cyber slime, let's bring in some news you may have missed. Quantum Internet Edition. Now, here on Fish Fry, I do love chatting about quantum just about anything. Late last year, I reported on plans for a new quantum radio. But what about a quantum internet? Seems like a pie-in-the-sky technology, right? Give me quantum internet and I'll sell you a bridge in Brooklyn. Well, maybe not. Late last month, the U.S. government unveiled a blueprint for a countrywide quantum internet at its Launch to the Future Quantum Internet event. Okay, so what are we really looking at before? Well, before we get into anything close to an unhackable quantum internet, we need to look closely at two quantum quandaries that need to be solved: quantum entanglement and quantum superposition. So first, quantum entanglement. This is when two particles can become so connected that no matter how much distance separates them, when you change the properties of one, it will change the properties of the other. And then there's that quantum superposition. This is when a particle can exist in two different states at the same time. Okay, so how do both of these phenomenon play into an internet scheme? Well, quantum entanglement would mean that communication would happen almost instantly, making quantum internet a whole lot faster than today's networks. Next, quantum superposition. This is where a particle can be in two different states at the same time. And this would mean a much tighter security of the information being shared across the quantum network. How? Well, first the information is encoded into pairs of connected photons that are in this superposition of states. And in terms of data specifically, this means that they could actually represent both a 1 and a 0 at the same time. In order to read the message, a decoder must be placed at each end, and then that specific message could only be read by its intended recipient. If someone other than the intended recipient tries to read that message, it actually collapses into a random state, making it completely unreadable. So, are we ready for a quantum internet today? Just press the button and go? No, not at all. But this recent announcement from the U.S. government is quite promising. At this Launch to the Future Quantum Internet event, they laid out four areas of research that should come first in order to develop this quantum internet. And they include providing the foundational building blocks for quantum internet, integrating quantum networking devices, creating, repeating, switching, and routing technologies for quantum entanglement, and enabling error correction of quantum networking functions. Now, in addition to these vital areas of research, the U.S. government has also laid out five milestones that need to take place before a quantum internet can be a reality. The first one of these milestones has actually already been demonstrated. It's the verification that this technology actually works over fiber networks. And that demonstration of this first milestone was recently shown in a test network set up by Oak Ridge and the Los Alamos National Laboratories. Now, the next milestones are all about the distribution of these entangled photons, starting with the distribution between campuses within a city. The next milestone is to set up quantum memory networks between two cities. And the fourth milestone would be to extend those quantum memory networks between states, using quantum repeaters to amplify signals. And finally, the fifth milestone would be to develop an operational infrastructure between laboratories, universities, and industry. Okay, we are miles and miles away from an unhackable internet. But a blueprint is a huge step forward. If you want even further information about this quantum internet blueprint, I've included a couple links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page on eejournal.com. Super cool stuff. All right, it's time to bring in the one, the only, Ted Morocco from Silent. Let's go. Hi, Ted. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Amelia. It's a pleasure to be back. I look forward to catching up.
Excellent. Okay, so the last time we talked, you were part of SmartFlow Compliance Solutions, but now you're the CEO of Silent. So what's going on here, Ted? Why the name change?
Okay, well, first off, SmartFlow Compliance Solutions is a mouthful. As our company has grown and as we've worked with our enterprise clients, we've been doing a lot more than just compliance solutions. So if you recall, our focus has been on anti-piracy, and we do work with the major software vendors to try to protect intellectual property. What our customers have led us to is the fact that the data is useful for so much more than just license compliance. We kind of outgrew the name. And then in addition to that, I just really got tired of having to type in at smartflowcompliance.com every time I had to register for something. So Silent is just so much easier. We love the name. It's Silent. You know, it implies the stealthiness because we still want to be in that cybersecurity edge and to really be stealthy when we need to from an anti-piracy perspective. And I'll tell you a little bit more about some of the things that we'll be doing, but we're going to be doing a lot more than just compliance solutions.
Excellent. Now, Ted, does this mean that all our piracy issues and license compliance problems are all solved?
Yeah. You know, Donald Trump did this trade agreement with China and they just decided that this was not going to happen anymore. No, I'm being facetious. the politics and the politicians have been making a lot of noise about the intellectual property theft. Trade agreements are one thing, but the reality is this is a problem. It is getting, you know, our data shows that the problem is getting worse. It's not getting better. You know, the BSA publishes statistics every couple of years. They show a slight improvement, but the data that we collect, you know, their data is based on surveys. Our data is based on evidence. And the evidence that we gather, you know, we need to add more servers, more bandwidth, more computing hardware to process the unlicensed software events. The crack sites, I remember you spoke with David Hall, the author of Crack 99, when we were last at DAC. The crack sites that traffic in these unauthorized, you know, counterfeit software, they've proliferated. There's more of them than ever. Every time you do a takedown notice, you know, one goes down and two or three more pop up. It's the same thing with the torrent sites, you know. So pirated software is alive and well. There's never been a greater need to track and protect your intellectual property. If you want to be able to protect your paying customers and you want to be able to protect your employees and your shareholders from that kind of theft.
Now, you guys are moving to a SaaS market intelligence platform, right? What has that move been like and what's all included in this kind of platform?
Okay, so we've always operated a SaaS platform. So the SmartFlow Professional for small and mid-sized companies and the SmartFlow Enterprise Edition for our larger enterprise clients, it has always been a SaaS portal. It's built on top of an Oracle Enterprise database and runs in the Amazon Web Services cloud, but it's really there to protect on-prem software. And most of our clients are on-prem software vendors. Now, the difference today is that in the past, we would really be trying to look at illegal events or unlicensed events or suspicious events. And our clients are and this is especially true, you know, with the COVID pandemic that's going on, is on-prem software vendors, they need to have visibility into their user community. Now, SaaS companies have excellent, you know, visibility into the user community. People log into a portal, you can see when they logged in, you can see when they logged out, you can see what functions they used, you can see what kind of routines they did, and you get a lot of intelligence, the user analytics. So the SaaS world is really in fashion right now, because these SaaS companies can really monitor everything that's going on about their business, and they can see if they're going to be losing customers, if there's going to be churn. What we are trying to do with our portal is provide that same level of visibility, but to on-prem software vendors. So we have one client that generates 30,000 evaluation licenses per month. So they're generating keys and they're sending out keys, they're emailing these keys to users, and they have all of these evaluations going on all over the planet. Well, I think that vendor really wants to know, are the people using those licenses? And if so, how much use are they getting? Are they getting stuck? And if they're getting stuck, where are they getting stuck? And how do you set up an application engineer to follow up on an evaluator if you see that they're using the evaluation and they have a 30-day eval and they stop using it after 3 days? You know, maybe that intelligence, that business intelligence, needs to go to the support team, who's also quarantined and sitting at home, and they can set up a Zoom call and they can work through screen to screen and get that evaluation back on track. So that's just one of the things that we're doing with our portal, is looking at usage analytics. You know, what functions are being used, what features are being used, what is the level of activity, what customers are going to renew, what customers are in danger of not renewing a subscription.
Now, Ted, that makes sense. What's on the horizon for you guys? What are you going to tackle next?
Well, we have a lot of things on the horizon. Our vision is a vision of, we're building a data lake. You know, we have different tributaries, different sources of information feed into this data lake. And what we're looking at doing is developing more and more sources for data. And some of these sources are silent data telemetry collection tools. And some of the sources can be the customer's own data. So what we try to do is we try to create an environment where a software company can pull together all of this information and that we can make sense of it. So what we try to do is to take quality data, but not connected, multiple databases, and then use our expertise in analytics and our expertise in understanding usage and bring it together a picture so that every executive in the boardroom can get a snapshot of what's important to them. Whether it's churn, customer churn, whether it's what the renewals are going to be, whether or not the development team has invested in the right features and functionality, all of that information, we want to be the company that can provide the insights into how software is being used and how to improve it for the user community.
Sure, that makes sense. All right, Ted, I think it's time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, you generally have the best off-the-cuff answers of most of my speakers, but you said to me earlier that you would have been somewhere special right now if it hadn't been for the COVID-19 pandemic. So, Ted, where would you have been?
Well, yes, I always, you know, try to have something good, and in this case, we're going to have to use our imagination. But the original plan was my wife and I were going to celebrate her birthday in Botswana in a place called the Okavango Delta, and we were going to be basically in a camp in the middle of Africa, southern Africa. I believe on her birthday, we were supposed to stay in a tree in the middle of this jungle area, and we were going to wake up to, you know, whatever kind of wildlife, you know, seemed to be around the tree at that time of night. So none of that happened. So I'm here and live to tell about it without having to go there. But the plan is hopefully that things are going to get back to normal, and maybe we will reschedule this adventure of a lifetime, which we've been planning for many years. We'll hopefully get a chance to do that, you know, next year or in the near future. So
I definitely wouldn't have guessed a treehouse in Botswana as your answer. Yeah. I just have to say
that's I figured that was unique, but
definitely. Well, Ted, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me yet again.
Amelia, it's always a pleasure. Thank you.
If you want even further information about Cylent and how it's protecting your software from cyber slime, I would encourage you to check out a recent article by the same name by EE Journal editor extraordinaire Max Maxfield. And of course, I've included a direct link below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com that will take you right there. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And don't forget, if you want to follow my personal Twitter account, check out AmeliaD1978. And hey, if LinkedIn is more your thing, sure, I totally get it. You can follow us or me on LinkedIn as well. We also have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/EEJournal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of super cool techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series hosted by yours truly. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can subscribe to this here podcast through Spotify, Podbean, or the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, or heck, you just want to chat, I promise I will respond. Shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of August 7th, 2020, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.